welcome to a load of old toffee, special Christmas edition. Don't know how many we've got through so far this year. I think it's about 59, gentlemen across the way has told me. Brought to you in association with David Lloyd Jim and boroughguide.co.uk.
My heart was in my mouth then.
Here we go.
Every time.
My heart was in my mouth.
I watched The Apprentice as it went.
59 episodes.
We've started now. As you can probably guess, Dino and Mark are here, but we've also got a few other faces, voices as well joining us for this very special edition. We'll start. We're going to have a quick round robin. We'll start to my right hand side. You are, sir?
Ken.
Ken
Jude.
Ken Jude.
The thinking man's crumpet.
The other side of Mark.
Will Pickworth.
Will Pickworth. Man, you've been on a few times.
Yeah, three times.
Three times. Veteran. Next.
Liam Govey.
You used to be a Borough fan, didn't you?
Fresh-faced Borough fan.
Next to Liam, we've got...
Albie.
And then we've got...
Jeff Wode.
Is it Jeff?
The artist formerly known as Jeff.
And then we've got...
Richard Collins.
Richard Collins.
Tony Creek.
Better known as Creaky.
Creaky. Imaginative.
Imaginative. Ian.
Bulldog Mara.
Ryan Davis, or Agent Eves. Jimmy Prefer.
What a collection.
That's a motley crew, isn't it?
What a collection we've got there. It's like a who's who of Stevenage supporters.
Dean, put your phone away.
I'm reading Barrett's chat. Get him a... What's it done?
Not playing Candy Crush.
No.
On Tinder.
All got together.
Research.
3 points for Stevenage on Saturday. Let's better talk about that first, didn't we?
Mm.
I enjoyed it.
Me too. Yeah. It was alright.
Oh, I was cold. I was bitterly cold. I wasn't dressed for it.
Did get cold, didn't it, towards the end?
Yeah, it did get a bit nippy.
Bulldog, you're going to.
I'm going to have to admit that I left early.
Yeah.
Do that every game.
I don't believe to go to work, so I missed the last 25 minutes, which were apparently the best 25 minutes. Yeah. But I thoroughly enjoyed the first hour, so I thought we played well first half, or well enough first half, and first 15, 20 minutes, second half, we put the pressure on them. They really didn't like it up, and it was a bit like old Stevenage, albeit with some slightly smaller players in midfield.
Yeah.
They were apparently big, tall and physical, though, again, weren't we?
He wasn't surprised, was he? He wasn't surprised that he didn't get a penalty. He wasn't surprised he didn't get Wells didn't get a red card. He wasn't surprised at anything.
And he wasn't surprised that the pitch had been doctored as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those huge monsters like Pet and Lee.
Charlie Adams. Yes.
Yeah. They were complaining about multiple penalty incidents.
Three?
I don't remember any.
No.
One at the end.
I had a sharp intake of breath, didn't I, at one point?
No, you were adamant there was a penalty.
I did. No, what I meant was, you've seen them given. And with our run of late goals and luck, I just was waiting for him to move that whistle to his mouth.
It was just delightful to see a consummate pro who'd been on the pitch 4 minutes leave with such passion after Wells had absolutely upset him with proper old Stevenage style. And we haven't seen enough of that, have we?
No, we haven't. No. You're dead
and
right, Richard.
That's why we won. We were old Stevenage. For that last half hour, we were old Stevenage.
They were in their faces, weren't they?
Yeah.
The last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought we battled really hard the last 20 minutes. Yeah. The first half, I kind of thought was interesting without being out of your seat exciting.
Well, that's what we were saying.
Then we really upped it in the second half of the second half, didn't we? And I thought we deserved to win again.
Well, I think where Exeter went wrong was they tried to play football all the time. And the pitch wasn't up to it, but they were trying to play little neat passes in the 6-yard box. Whereas as soon as we got it, we were launching 60 yarders, and that's all right, isn't it? That's what always wins it for us.
We turned it into a scrap, and they didn't like it. We liked it when it was a scrap.
Yeah. I don't think we played as much long ball as we have done, though, and I think that kind of worked to our advantage. I think credit where it's due, the post-match interview, Wesley saying that there were people that weren't pulling their weight.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I was going to pull you back.
You're giving credit to Graham Wesley.
Right.
Oh, go on, I'm sorry. Carry on.
Tis a season of good all men and all that.
Yeah, but... No. I think, you know, credit where it's due. He said that there was people that weren't pulling their weight. For me, I think there were certain players that were playing far too often despite not being at their best. And he seemingly admitted that that was the case and brought in new players that hadn't played as often, and I thought that it worked massively to our advantage. Mm. I thought Parrott was absolutely awesome.
Yeah, superb. And Pett as well.
But did he bring him in, or was he forced to because of the sickness? So did Graham produce a master plan out of nowhere and in introducing these players back into the team?
Yeah, of course.
Or was his hand forced by the illness that was going around the camp?
And the players were playing too bad to be able to justify picking him again for another week.
Yeah, and you know, masterstroke leaving Charlie Lee on the bench for 10 minutes and then scores the goal. You know, just to make him fresh for the last 80.
What I did notice was that Wesley didn't come out onto the pitch until 2:58. He didn't do his normal walk around the centre circle with his cup of tea, as far as I remember. I didn't see him at all until 2 minutes before. He normally wanders around and gives the last little tactical instruction.
Are you suggesting it's better when he's not involved?
I just made an observation, that's all.
On account of the sickness bug.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
He was too busy tweeting, mate.
Angry Graham Wesley.
You think Graham Wesley's actually the fake Graham Wesley account? Is
that what you
mean? That makes sense.
I'd love that.
Angry as well.
I'd love that.
That's you, isn't it, Mark?
Who raised their eyebrows when they saw the team when you saw Beardsley on the bench? You saw the big four on the bench, Whelpdale, Lee. I always forget the last one.
The big four changes every week.
Walton.
Of course you forget.
But they've got hundreds of games of Football League experience under their belts.
I tell you, I was relieved though. The stewards are stabbed by the corner flags for Walton when he's on
the
They were relieved that he wasn't Stein. Definitely.
It was a strange setup, wasn't it? It was quite bold.
It was a small midfield, wasn't it? Mm. And to leave out Welps is a big decision. Mm. And it worked for him.
Two up front.
Didn't even try and play him at right back.
No.
Yeah. Small. McAllister's not big, but he...
He's
like,
physical, hasn't he?
Yeah,
he
likes getting his
He
foot
reads
in
the game well for me. Just, you know, if there's a
Well, apart from where Charlie's in the way.
Yeah, yeah, he did knock him up in the air, didn't he? But if he can see a tackle 20 yards away, he just seems to time his run brilliantly to get there. And I like that. I like him. We've got to keep on.
At the same time, he's not rash and doesn't just jump.
No.
You see, like, Wells at the start of the season, I think he's much better now, but he was just kind of flying. And as soon as there was a... any sort of loose ball, he'd go flying after it, and sometimes you're like, not sure he's actually going to make it. Whereas McAllister seems to have much more composure about him, maybe tackling, which
did get caught out a few times at the back again, though, didn't we? Especially in that first half.
Yeah, two or three good chances they had, didn't they?
He always seems to be over the left back. I don't know why that is. I don't know if there's a defensive misorganisation.
Communication?
They always get in behind the chemo.
I think it's the wingers. I noticed this, I've been looking for it, someone mentioned it to me a couple of weeks ago. I don't think the wingers do as much defensively as maybe they should do. I noticed there's quite a few times that Adams just sort of wandered off, like, wasn't really in a position. And the amount of times that Grimes was drifting around and he was kind of playing a bit of a free roll, I wasn't sure exactly where he was playing, but he just always seemed to be in space. And I know that's a sign of a good player, that they always find space, but he was drifting out onto the right-hand side and Adams never seemed to be anywhere near him. And it's not just him as well. I think I've seen it quite a few times that the fullbacks seem to get overloaded, and the amount of times we've been criticising Darius for not getting across to left back, but there should be a winger also there back defending, and it shouldn't be, you know, as lopsided as it has been. So I think it's the defence. I thought Wakimo in particular was pretty good.
Exeter were quite good at actually creating space for themselves, weren't they? Very clever with their little drops.
They're a great side to watch.
Feints and to take one of our guys out of the game, and they almost create that space for themselves.
There were some great feints in the game, wasn't there, where it looked like they were going to go for the long one and just hooked it.
You can see why they get so many away. They take so many away from home because they're a great side to watch. They're value for money, aren't they? Yeah. Where they pass the ball.
And their manager's always impeccably dressed, isn't he? Wonderful pair of green sort of jeans.
It's not often as well you see director of football in the dugout area, isn't it? Could you imagine that happening at Stevenage?
Who would your director of football be though? Who'd come down and tell Graham what to do, apart from Agent Hughes, obviously? but he did. He was quite involved, wasn't he, Perryman, on Saturday? And I think they were like... they were desperate to get back in it. They weren't out of it at the time. It was 0-0, I think, when he was deep in conversation and Wells stamped on the matey boy, which obviously infuriated him. But I like that when referees and linesmen miss stuff against us.
He had a bit of a chat with the linesman, didn't he?
Yeah.
was the best offside decision of the season as well, wasn't it?
I've never seen the worst offside decision in my life.
We were in line, weren't we? And that was awful.
Yeah, we saw you behind the linesman, actually. We gave you comment on during commentary, but it was a little bit of a
word.
Disagreement behind the linesman.
I tell you
shoulder.
Who we haven't mentioned is Brunt. I thought he was brilliant. He absolutely did what he had to do.
He was missing up there, I
think. Yeah. Got something about him.
It was a shame when he intercepted the throwing. He went to Charlie Lee and then put the volley in, the dipping volley. It was a shame
that
didn't go in. Because from throwing to back of the net, it wouldn't have touched the pitch, would it? Probably the best thing to do.
I was expecting Brunt to be a little bit like Ben May, just fairly big and fairly immobile, but he moves around.
You said
physically,
he moves around well.
Good feet. He's got good feet.
He just keeps it simple. I think that was what impressed me most. He's obviously aware of what his limitations are, and he, you know, sticks to what he's good at. And I thought he was.
Yeah.
He did win quite a few of where we did play long balls. He won quite a few, didn't he? And it's I don't know how long Barnard's out for. I know it's a comment talking about striker options limited again now with his injury. So I guess he might be out for a while. It's a bit of a shame that they're not going to get a run together if he is going to play 4-4-2.
It was talked of Marriott coming back pretty soon, wasn't there?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Marriott, didn't I see him tweet this week? He's off somewhere up north, Bury.
Hardly a holiday destination, is it? Bury?
Maybe he's got family up there or something, I don't know.
What, he was watching Bury?
Oh, that was one tweet. He was in Bury. I can't imagine he was sightseeing.
He was in Bury, wasn't he?
Not this
Saturday. I saw him Saturday.
How did you?
I heard he's probably Boxing Day's too soon, but maybe Cambridge is after that, isn't it?
Yeah,
29th.
It's
2 days
late.
That's a pretty precise
diagnosis.
I'm just
sharing information with you.
26, that's far too early. It's got to be the 28th.
you're taking up where you left off on Saturday there, you sarcastic old barb. God, there was no festive cheer in the commentary box Saturday, chaps. God, dear, it was like Ebenezer Scrooge sat next to me.
Well, like this week, everything on my timeline's been in, posting a different Christmas song.
Santa Claus is coming to town and everything. It's like he's had a bit of fairy dust sprinkled over
him. Have some ghosts visit.
I thought I'd befriend Phil Spector.
That was quite interesting, talking of Santa Claus is coming to town when that sung out on the East Terrace on Saturday.
Yeah.
That was quite, and the amount of people that were looking, what on earth is that all about?
Who the hell is Santa Claus guy? Yeah.
He used to play for Exeter.
He did.
So, I mean, does Saturday change people's opinions? I mean, there's been...
Well, I was just thinking, we're sitting here waxing lyrical and lacing daisies into each other's hair. Imagine if we'd have lost on Saturday.
Yeah.
No, it's not about losing. It's not. So, a couple of years ago, we played Wrexham, first game of the season, lost 5-0. I went on 5 Live, waxing lyrical that I've been to see the team I love play. Right, so it's not about losing. It's about players putting in a shift that means my effort in getting to the ground and putting my money through the turnstile, they've repaid it with a shift on the pitch. When I wasn't seeing that at the start of the season, and I haven't really seen it away from home, that's when I don't think Wesley should be in the job. When I see the effort that I saw on Saturday, I think we should keep with him.
And I mean, is it him or the players?
Well, I think he
manages the players, but
it's a bit of. But Wesley Mark II wouldn't accept that a team was bigger than us. He would go up to David when he was facing Goliath and tell David how he was going to beat Goliath 5-0. Right? Right now, he's going up to David saying, "Oh, he's a big fella, isn't he?" So you know, he's
2 days before the game.
He would never accept that a team was bigger than us. That a team because they've got better history. He wouldn't show him any respect, and he would just make sure we beat them. Right, whatever that took, if that took drinks breaks, if that took foul play, whatever, that's what we want to see from a Stevenage team. All these people who want football to be pure, go on your railway station, just up the road. But Stevenage, what we're good at, we should do, and Graham knows what we're good at, and he should make sure we do that. So that for me is what I want from him.
So why have we had this sea change then, from the attitude back then to what we've got now from Graham?
Do you not think it's because maybe he knows his limitations and he's learnt from mistakes and people have maybe taken them. I know he's not going to take notes of people taking them, but maybe he thought these guys aren't as good as they were, so I can't be as loud about them as I was before.
But then at the start of the season he said it was the best Stevenage side ever.
But if you read Markey's blog that he wrote last week talking about performances comparing that to previous seasons, since we've been a Football League team, and he compares it to the promotion season when we first made it in the League Two, and we're certainly comparable, if not slightly better, at this stage of the season than we were back then. But there wasn't that dissatisfaction with Wesley back then. And I mean, if you have a look at Markey's survey that he's now carried out, you're looking at over 80% of the fan base are disaffected with Wesley, dissatisfied with him.
When you say better off in terms of points, maybe, better in terms of the value for money you're getting out of what's happening on the pitch is debatable.
Yeah.
But two or three times this season, I thought they played well. We've won more than that, but only two or three times have I thought that was a good game.
I totally agree, but I don't know if a lot of the dissatisfaction, if I can pronounce it, comes from the fact that we've dropped down a division, there's a lot more expected of us compared to when we were non-league going into the Football League for the first time.
Where we are now is one thing if you've just come up the season before, isn't it? But where we are now, having come down, is a different matter entirely.
But
having
we are
come
power,
down so abjectly as we did.
Yeah,
I think that's why. There's an undercurrent of dissatisfaction with that. Whatever happens this year, I suspect it'll take a bit of turning around.
We don't really know what to expect there, because like when we came up before, we were like the lowest budget in League Two, and then our success happened so quickly.
Our expectation was,
and then we came down and we're sort of like middle of the table in terms of like wages and stuff like that. We don't know whether should we be challenging for promotion or.
Albie, you're quiet. How's your girlfriend feeling about Wesley these days? You know, because you know she.
I'm bringing her to Cambridge on Saturday, so.
You what?
I'm bringing her to Cambridge.
You are bringing her.
Yeah.
How many games has she been to?
This will be a second after Northampton.
And she's coming back.
She's still coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you like to go home after a game and rant about him for an hour and a half. I'm thinking that she probably knows a lot about him.
Yeah. After the Luton game, I spent 3 hours on the phone to various people. And as soon as they left, I went on the phone to someone else.
As soon as their line mysteriously went dead.
I don't think the Samaritans were supposed to hang up.
So what have you been thinking, Govey? You know, from afar, you must be thinking, Gordon,
I think
Bennett.
Well, yesterday, or Saturday even, changed my mind, I think. Because it was a hard-working performance. I don't think there was anything wrong with it at all, really. Well, there were a few little problems here and there, but they could be solved. But it kind of... It's on the brink of changing my opinion of Wesley, because this season I've not really been a fan of him. I think he's had too many ridiculous tactics in at times where he could have just, you know, played a simple kind of, you know, 4-4-2 like Newport. But I think he's on the brink of changing my opinion. It all depends on what happens on Boxing Day, I think.
You were rock bottom with him a week or so ago, weren't you?
Didn't
you post that he must go?
Yeah, I did.
Post.
I did, but I'm some would say I'm fickle, but I'd just say I'm, you know, open to change, I guess.
I'd say you're fickle.
Well, yeah, me too.
So where do we go then? I mean, you make five changes and you win a game.
Make another five, win the next one.
Yeah, what do you do with the next game? There's players there who must be looking at that, who were perhaps left out on Saturday and thinking, having to think about themselves.
Well, the senior players, I would suggest. Graham said they took it quite well.
Is it the first game Pett's played a full game?
I think so.
Because he got better as the game went on.
Yeah.
Mm. He's a confidence player, isn't he? Mm. So, you know, making him sub, bringing him on and subbing him probably did him no good when he talked about the fans knocking him. But he's played him for a full game. He then knew he probably wasn't going to get subbed, and he got better and better with Ronnie down that right. So, you know, I think that's a good sign.
He's wasted a big chance though, didn't he? Brunt's left it, Brunt's dummied it, and I don't think he's expecting it. He's got an awful first touch, it's brought him out of the opportunity, and later on, when we're 1-0 up.
I remember that.
It won't do the senior players harm being left out, will it? If it fires them up to realise what it's actually all about.
I think that's what he touched on in the post match interview as well, is that you're going to get one or two reactions from him. You're either going to realise that, sorry, you're no good. Especially with the timing coming up to the transfer window, is that you're going to say they're either no good, they're not interested, off you go, or they're going to dig in and they're actually going to start giving you what you want out of them. So I think the timing of dropping them is pretty good.
Speaking of reactions, did anyone see Dean Wells after we scored? He's come over, proper fist pumping. He loved it. It was good.
Yeah. What was the time? 84 minutes, wasn't it? Mm. It was a late one. Yeah. And nice for it to be that way round, because we've conceded a lot.
Conceded 9, haven't we, in the last 10-15 minutes? Did I read somewhere? I don't take a lot of notice of stats.
was it?
But it's quite a lot of goals we conceded in the last 15 minutes of the game.
It's probably quite a lot of injury time as well, wasn't
there? It was.
Grimes spent half the time and half of his
There was 4 minutes and then something happened, didn't there? And then there was another minute or two on right. top of the four.
Well, there was the little chat between Wells and Morrison which the referee had to deal with.
Yeah.
What happened there? I wasn't paying attention,
but he just exploded, didn't he? Did anybody see it?
Clinton Morrison, yeah, I mean, jeepers, creepers. It was bizarre, wasn't it? Like, and it went on after the final whistle, and it went on. Graham Wesley had him by the shirt, didn't he? Wellesley at one point, and he had his arm round Morrison, and yeah.
That really went up, play out.
It did,
I
yeah.
Really
yeah.
Up, half an hour would have been a great tear up. They should have just let that.
We've
only got a minute left, lads. Go on, fill your boots.
Yeah. I won't stop the watch. The rest of you can go in if you like. Yeah. Yeah, Clinton Morrison.
I think he's lost every time he's come to Barra. Because I remember him playing for, I think it was Brentford, when they missed those two penalties. And he played for another side after that. Who
Sheffield
beat,
Wednesday.
Was that Wednesday?
Yeah, he must have been at Wednesday.
Yeah.
Colchester.
Yeah.
Shame, isn't it?
Colchester as well. So what have we made of the opposition sides we've seen so far this season? I mean, we've played just about all of them, and we've got a couple more to play. But is there anybody there that really scares you? I mean, you look at the second half of the season, and there is a real chance, isn't there, that we could.
Bury were decent, I thought, when we went up there, and I quite like the look of Portsmouth. That night they beat us.
Yeah, we tried to give Portsmouth a game, didn't we?
But look where they are now. I mean,
yeah, so level on points with us, isn't it?
And Bury, you dropped down to sixth, have they? Seventh?
Just I think, admittedly, the best team I've seen has been probably Exeter. We beat
the way they play, number 33 of theirs, who controls the game.
Well, I thought Morecambe were good.
Yeah,
I thought Morecambe tried
to
pass the ball, they just didn't have the quality up front.
Some of the teams that are like near the top of the league, like Shrewsbury, Burton, I thought they were rubbish when they came to us.
Mm.
The only team probably at the top that did this, Wickham destroyed us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. But we kind of mad. We put that down, man.
Especially though,
us,
I think we went into that game as support, at least I did, thinking they were down the bottom last year, this is going to be a good opportunity for 3 points, and then all of a sudden they turned up and you're like, going on here, but
they're a different team,
they've obviously
they?
Carried it on, and
they've been able to maintain it, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. I guess that's one example of where you should stick with your man as well. Like everyone was saying about how Ainsworth should go last season, and they were right down the bottom, and he presumably wasn't producing the results or the performances they wanted, and everyone was calling for his head. They've stuck with him and reap the rewards, it seems. So
yeah, as long as Wesley has the players, I think. Like on Saturday, you just saw there, like even when we've been losing. Few times have seen like the players have been up for it, and like they were really working for them on Saturday. So I think you're okay.
But that again, there is the little worry that a lot of these loans are due up, aren't they? Fairly soon.
Got a lot of loanees, haven't
we? Yeah, we'll look at Saturday's team: Adams, McAllister,
Brunt, Conlon on the bench,
Barnard. If Brunt's not getting in the team at Bristol Rovers, they're on TV on Friday and they scored 3 goals, so he's not going to go back there, I don't think. And McAllister, they've got like 5 or 6 centre mids at Shrewsbury. And then Adam, surely they'd want him to like toughen him up unless he goes to League One, but he hasn't really set the world alight much.
He ain't going
to
get much for looking at Brentford, is he, the way they're going at the minute?
Yeah, I mean, the way they're going, I can't see them having a need for him, but it's a case of whether. Does that then open it up and maybe and look for a permanent move?
Got to get McAllister permanent.
I think he's the one for me. I think if they all go back, we could keep one, I think that would be 100% Ben McAllister.
I think he's played every minute of every game since he's been there.
But I think he offers something that we've not got anyone else that can do it.
You should get
a
medal for that, because that's a new job.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
we don't normally see him doing it.
Most of the loanies are away, so it's going to make
0%.
Maybe to the table tennis tournaments, it might make a bit of a difference, but not to the pitch.
Because of course we have got Calvin Zola to look forward to.
Well, we have got some long term.
You're talking table tennis.
We can't have the long term injury situation that we had first half of the season. You wouldn't think happen in the second half of the season, or you'd hope not. So it'd be like some of the players would be like we signed them in January, wouldn't it?
I think we can keep Marriott. I
don't need another pre season, would they? Perhaps we should get knocked out of something else.
We've got nothing left to get knocked out of.
I don't know about Marriott scoring a lot of goals, but he's certainly.
He's
up there with
composed.
Well, isn't he?
He's composed on the ball. And I saw him and Zola for the 20 minutes at Chesham, and they combined brilliantly. I've seen Zola. The 20 minutes I've seen him. But they did. I know it's against. You can say it's against Chesham, but for that 20 minutes, there was a definite spark between the two of them.
Yeah.
So there's something there.
Little Marriott's off the ball is just phenomenal. Like he manages to always get the wrong side of the defender, or the right side, depending on how you're looking at it. Mm-hmm. And he just manages to wiggle in between the defender and the ball, and he makes a nuisance of himself. And I think he's good footwork. I think he shows signs of being a good poacher as well. I think with the right front man with him, I think he could be excellent.
He needs a goal, and then I think
definitely.
And for a little guy, he's nice and aggressive as well.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah,
only
played 20 minutes against Sheldon, but he changed the game in our favour again when he came on.
Yeah, that match was petering out, wasn't it? All of a sudden, he's on there and he's in there. He's created the two goals.
Something to prove, though, isn't he? Yeah. Something to prove coming off the bench.
And what do we make about Tom Conlon on this Saturday? He looks like he must come on.
He must look brilliant in training.
you can only have so many loans in a matchday squad, can't you? So hey, he's obviously the one that's just missing out because. You can only have, what is it, 5 in a matchday squad?
Yeah, but even Saturday, he was ready to come on, and I think Brunt pulled up, didn't he? So he's told him to go and get dressed again.
Yeah.
I think he'll get game time at Christmas, like you were talking about, leaving the senior players out. I think Westy's probably, I think we've got 22 fit players in our squad or something. He's probably thought, like, for example, Walton, he's not very good, but if he was going to play, he wouldn't be able to play.
That's so nonchalant.
Will Pickworth, Simon, ahead.
But, like, I don't think, like, maybe defenders, but for a centre mid, they're not going to be able to play all 4 games over the Christmas period. So we've got 7 centre mids, but then Jeb's injured, who I didn't rate anyway. So we've got 6 centre mids to rotate.
You don't mind that, Will?
Sorry, Jeb's a bit smaller.
Is there anyone you do like? And Carl Roberts is all right.
God.
Do
they win the weekend, Dons?
Apparently. I didn't have the radio on, so I don't know.
I got hurried up because they had him sitting, waiting, breathing down the line on Saturday to tell us how wonderful they were.
You should have made him wait. I bet he was delighted having to listen to you first.
lovely lad.
One guy that I think hasn't got credit when we've won is Dave. I think Dave's been much improved this year.
I was just going to say, actually, with all those big players out, maybe we were going to see a change of goalkeeper as well on Saturday.
He's never changing line up in front of him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Both in formation and in terms of the.
Wes kept having a pop at him on the game during the game on Saturday, didn't he?
His kicking was terrible again.
He was at him so much, I thought Dave was going to turn around and give him one back.
Ronnie was giving him a bit of a go.
His kicking had been better when he first came back into the side, and in the last couple of weeks, Newport last week, he was finding touch as well.
Mm. But he seems so reluctant to give him short as well. You'd think if someone's kicking is so consistently poor that you would try and circumnavigate it.
Also,
they just don't seem to be coming up with any sort of.
I think that was Wesley's biggest issue, was the fact that he was always kicking it, and then he wasn't kicking it far enough.
But then when he connects with it and it goes like for a goal kick out of the other end, like it either seems to hammer it the entire level of it or kick it out for a throw. That seems to be his 2 options. And I think someone said to me, I can't remember what it was on Saturday, that we were almost playing at times like as if we were playing rugby, like we were trying to just gain yards and gain territory. And the way he was kicking, it was almost like rugby fullbacks kicking it out for touch.
Which team was it where the goalkeeper actually came up near the end? A few games ago, the goalkeeper actually came up.
Was it Morgan?
No,
was it Berry?
Because they got hold of the ball then, and I thought, go on, do one of your kicks there, you'd probably get a goal.
Yeah, he
went to ground, didn't he?
Yeah.
Sort of laid back about it all, isn't he? We watched the young lad, didn't we, for the youth team, Tyler, the other night, and he's loopy.
He looks nuts, doesn't he?
He gets the ball and he's looking to throw it straight away. Boom, he has it in his hand for literally half a second. He gets it up the field, he gets it into the centre midfield, he gets it out to the fullbacks, doesn't he?
Yeah. But for a team like that, is that something that I think we should be encouraging? Like, I've always said, like with most teams I've ever coached in the past, a goalkeeper, you want to get it out to your fullbacks as quickly as possible, especially if the other team's unsettled, try and get down their throat, not let them get back into position. Whereas we seem so slow with our distribution that by the time we do put it forward, they've already got their 2 banks of 4 set up.
I tell you what, though, it's nice to be discussing goalkeeper distribution rather than an error for a goal, wasn't it? So, you know, I'm quite happy we're in a position where we're discussing the quality of his kicking or the quality of, you know, the distribution, because it means that we're not discussing a save he hasn't made.
Yeah. Talking about the youth, are any of them going to make it through, do you think?
Good things about Kennedy.
Yeah. Yeah, Kennedy looks good, but he's a long way from being a Football League player, I think.
He'll be loaned to Stortford in no time.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is my bugbear with Wilson half the time.
Wilson's the.
But I mean, we had a couple of, well, three players last season that made a breakthrough, I thought, in League One and performed reasonably well. I know it's only over a short period of games, but you had Rodell Gordon, you had Jaron Gessen.
You're about him now with no strikers.
Exactly. I know Jaron Gessen's been injured well now, but there was certainly a time earlier in the season where we could have called him back.
And left-sided centre-back, George is a left-sided centre-back. He was, I don't even know where he is now. But
he's
back at
Stortford, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah. And Okin Buri. I mean, they all look good to me. They look like good squad players. But
one of them scored at the end of last season, didn't he?
Yes, that was an excellent.
I would ask. I said this a few days ago. I would rather have seen Fajiri on the bench a couple of times coming off, rather than us getting surplus loan strikers or surplus loan players in and giving him a go. Because if you're only going to be bringing him on for 5 or 10 minutes, or even only putting him on the bench one in every 3 or 4 games, why not blood your own youth players then? Blood somebody else's.
I just get the impression that he's put them on loan and we'll never see him again.
And it's not like he's not good enough either. I think last season I actually think that he held his him in particular held his own really well. I think he looked like he had the potential to go on to be quite good. But
I thought it's quite telling the first few games of the season when we didn't have a full complement of subs, but there was a refusal to put those lads on the bench.
It was Ryan Johnson was on the bench. He came on.
Yeah, Johnson's, well, he's not gone out anywhere either, has he?
He's in Florida.
But he's a left-footed centre-back, though, and they can only have one
really
at a time.
Me, actually, when I saw him play against Brentford at left-back, he was very good.
Yeah, he did well that day.
And he's got the build of a footballer now. Yeah. He's a real stocky lad, whereas most of the youth team are still fairly skinny 17-year-olds, which is only natural. And Kennedy's got some fantastic talent, but physically he's not up to league football yet.
But then if you look at people like Grimes and Grealish, you wouldn't necessarily think by looking at him that they're.
I'd like to see Kennedy maybe a little bit more involved.
He had him in training straight after, didn't he? Very next day after that.
But then when you look at the bench we had on Saturday, Kennedy's not going to get on that, is he? And you're not going to just put him straight into the first team. But no, it's interesting. I don't know. I don't understand youth team football these days and how you develop players to bring them on. How often have we seen them come into the first team?
How often have we sent a player out on loan that's important back and played them? It just doesn't happen, Stevenage.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that all the players that we've put out on loan is with a view to possibly offloading them.
Do you think there's a possibility? I don't know exactly what the rules are, but with the youth academies, that isn't there some ruling where a higher grade youth academy can basically take a player for nothing? So if these players are of a certain age, I think it's under 17, that up until that point, you can basically get poached for marginal amount of compensation.
Wes has said the same thing to Samir. Why would he invest time and effort into developing a player to Football League standards for some other club to come in and pay you next to nothing and just be out of it?
I think it is a league ruling that you do have to have an academy as well, isn't it?
But I think on the flip side as well is that if they are good enough, maybe he's just waiting for them to get to the point where they're under full I don't know exactly what contracts they're on, but almost waiting for them to get under full contract so they are out, so that if they do turn out to be good, that someone's got to pay for them rather than us just losing them to, you know, some Premier League youth system for them.
I think if he thought they were good enough, I think they'd be in the squad.
Yeah,
because he's so result driven that wouldn't enter his mind. I just think if he felt they were good enough, they would be in the squad.
Isn't there perhaps a sense that it's actually cheaper to wait for people to come from higher clubs who don't make it in those clubs? Because if you look at the likes of Arsenal, how many people do they have in their youth setup? Loads, don't they? And how many of them ever actually play for Arsenal? A handful? And they all have to dribble down somewhere, and that must dribble right the way down.
And that's
the league,
what he built the Wesley One team on, wasn't it? Yeah. It was people who were hungry because they'd been at bigger clubs that hadn't quite made it.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Well, they've got experience within that league as well, League One or League Two as well, with other loans, haven't they?
So what would it cost you to have players develop to that sort of standard compared to just taking them when they don't make it at the slightly higher level?
Yeah.
the youth team missed out, didn't they, in the final, getting to the final, didn't they, the weekend? They lost 2-0.
Are they back? So there were a load of lads in gear in Stevenage with suitcases at lunchtime. I know this.
It could have been them. I think they are, actually. They didn't hang around, did they? They got out there, a couple of games quite quickly, and then...
Yeah. A little plan. Every day, Monday, something like that.
Four games in 6 days, I think it was.
Good to watch. But, again, you know, talking about Arsenal youth team, there it's drummed into them how to play the game and how Arsenal play the game. But when we saw that youth team, that wasn't how Stevenage first team play, is it?
No. Do we all know
stuff? Yeah, the youth team do keep the ball on the floor, don't they? Yeah. Mm. When I've seen them play, you know, when you go pre-season or whatever, they play a passing game.
Yeah, but if you're coaching to develop rather than coaching to win, then you are going to encourage passing in the technical game, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're not going to learn anything by watching the ball sail over their heads.
But I guess that's the difference between the environment you've got in youth football and the environment you've got in league football, is that you can't afford to be, you know, messing about. You've got, it's all, like you say, results driven.
And particularly in League Two.
Yeah.
Where you've got to survive, haven't you? And you survive by 1-0 win, however you get it.
No player your cards right today, Mark.
No, I couldn't find a season with enough players in it for the amount of guests we've got, so I thought it's best to give that one a swerve this week.
You might have struggled around that.
Yeah,
one.
I think so.
All right, let's ask a couple of questions. Biggest disappointment of the season so far, Ken?
For me, the excuses bit that comes after bad performances, well, we could have done that and we might have stopped that one and we could have scored that one. I think we could do without it. I sometimes wonder in those situations whether he's been watching the same game as we've watched, and I'd rather it was a little bit more straight, to be honest.
Mark?
I don't know, my short term memory is appalling. I could barely remember what happened Saturday.
Shall I remind you the question?
Yeah, what are the options? I don't know. I'll have a think, go around or something.
Can't think. Will?
Simon Walton.
Mm. After what we saw in pre-season, I think it has been disappointing, isn't it? We've seen the old flash from him.
Just every time he gets the ball, like if we just kept it on the ground, against Cheltenham, we kept it on the ground and we outplayed them so much. And then every time he gets the ball, we just slip for the corner flag and try and boot it.
But he does. He's capable of playing a short passing game. Like he's done it on occasion, and he's done it well. But it's his first option. He's, like you say, always just hit that Hollywood pass, and he'll only pass it short once that option has been eliminated. And it's exactly the same as what Gaetanzi used to do.
Is it a coincidence that his better performances came against West Ham, Millwall and the likes, and not against Accrington and some of the other sides?
Do you think you get more time on the ball playing those teams? And it's not 100 miles an hour, so he's got time to pick a similar pass as opposed to hitting a Hollywood pass.
Well, if you compare his performance to Parrott actually like dribbles with the ball, runs the defence, pushes further on, whereas he's basically just a rubbish version of McAllister. He just sort of sits there just in a little circle. If you did like a heat map,
you can watch the quiet ones, Chris.
Yeah, that would be quite interesting, that heat map.
Can we just say that was Will again?
He's having a coffee in the lounge next door. I'll introduce you after, Will, alright? Go on, Albie, I want to hear your biggest disappointment.
Liam's
are we going round in a circle? I thought we were going at random. Go on in, Liam.
What an upbeat way of getting to Christmas. What's been the worst?
Yeah, but we're
going to
finish on a positive
year.
Mark.
No, we'll move it on, don't worry.
I'd say our away form has just been dreadful. I mean, I've been to quite a few games this season away from home, and the only game we really attacked, I'd say, was probably Portsmouth, and Wimbledon as well, actually. But, I mean, it's just not been good enough away from home in any way.
Was it three wins in the away wins
three
in the calendar year?
2014, and all of them 3-2, which is quite weird. But it's just not good enough.
I didn't realise it was all 3-2.
Wimbledon was 2-1.
No, it's 3-2.
Is it?
Yeah, 3-2.
Yeah,
3-2.
You missed. You dropped those
two. 2.5 time. Yeah, I dropped off sitting next to you.
Albie.
Right.
Get his list out.
Might need small batteries for that.
every single time we played well, like we did yesterday, then we'll go and lose 1-0 or 2-0 or to like Newport or something, and just shows that it's a complete waste of time playing well. We're just going to go and throw it away and be inconsistent the next week anyway. And then we'll lose to Dagenham 1-0 Saturday, beat Cambridge, beat Cambridge, lose to Morecambe, beat Wimbledon, lose to York, and it'll be that all season. I'll get bored.
Would you rather see us win one, lose two, or draw three in a row?
That
was kind of what my tweet was about, when which you read out and said leave it out. Was it the Cheltenham game where we played really well? And I said we'll be back to one up top at the weekend, and you know, in fact it was the cup replay, wasn't it? And it'd be penalties and or whatever.
Yeah.
And you called me out for it, and I'm still waiting for my apology.
Sorry, Ken.
Is it debate though? Of is there really that much difference between playing at home and playing away? Because.
They're
two football pitches.
This is it.
They're two sets of 11 players.
It don't matter how many people are in the ground calling you a what's it.
Yeah, and people say, oh, it's all about having the crowd cheering you on. If you're playing football, you're concentrating on what you're doing. You can hear noise. Whether they're shouting, come on Newport or come on Borough, I really don't think you can tell the difference.
There's a few things, isn't there? So, you know, the psychologists are telling you, when a striker's got his back to goal, if he's at home, he's used to seeing the same point and the advertising and everything else, so he knows where to turn and where to hit, and there's all kinds of things like that. But no, it shouldn't make any difference. Look at QPR, brilliant home form, rubbish away form, but they play differently away. I think we do kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. The point you make, we don't often go 4-4-2, which seems to be the formation that suits us away from home, do we?
But it's not just us that does it, like you say. QPR, another example,
set up not to lose, don't we?
Yeah, we might as well just go for a win. Just go for a win.
Yeah. I've said that to you on the way back from games. Why do we have a different formation home and away? Because you are kind of pandering to the opposition, aren't you?
Yeah.
Rather than.
So you're saying we're setting up not to lose, but then that just encourages the home team to come on us, and we tend to let one in within 20 minutes.
Chester, wasn't it? Went back in the conference days, and no one had beat them at home, and then Graham went up there and played three up front, didn't he?
That was Rocky Baptiste's only game that he turned up in.
Yeah,
it was a masterclass.
So,
good
over
up there and all that. Was
worked there, didn't
freezing as well that day.
Yeah, yeah. We just went up and not expected anything and destroyed it.
But you got a story about that day, because he came up to the press box, didn't he? The Bleasdale.
Steve Bleasdale, yeah. He came up, he was all in a panic 10 minutes before the kickoff, because he says, well, how's he line up? He's got three strikers on there. How's he line up? Mate, we've never seen that before. And they. From then you knew that Chester had a problem with it. They really did. He was seriously in one, because he just didn't. They couldn't read the team, and so it proved.
Yeah, this year
Rocky.
That's us, isn't it?
Yeah,
I like that on Twitter before the game.
Yeah.
So what is it this week? What formation is that?
You're listening to a very special Christmas edition of A Load of Old Toffee. That's where we have to leave the first part of this episode. We'll be back shortly. Be sure to download part two, where the conversation will be continued. Many thanks for listening.
This podcast was brought to you in association with www.boroughguide.co.uk. If you'd like to contact the podcast team or contribute to a future edition, please email us at aloadofoldtoffee@gmail.com, and that's with no spaces. You can also join us on Facebook by searching for A Load of Old Toffee, or you can follow us on Twitter at Old Toffee, again, no spaces.
A Load of Old Toffee. A Load of Old Toffee.